It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Ricker. You're with us on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Coming up on Central Time, artwork done by Wisconsin veterans to cope with post-traumatic stress disorder is on display at the state's Veterans Museum. We'll speak with the director about how that exhibit is helping veterans heal.
First, a legal challenge to the way Republican lawmakers drew legislative districts back in 2011 will be heading to trial. That was a unanimous decision by three federal judges yesterday.
Joining us now to talk about the details of the ruling and what it could mean moving forward is Milwaukee Journal Sentinel State Government reporter Patrick Marley. Patrick, thanks for joining us again.
Yeah, thanks, Veronica.
So what is the challenge here to the Wisconsin legislative maps?
A group of 12 Democrats sued last year, arguing that the maps Republicans drew were so favorable to the Republicans as to be unconstitutional, saying that they violate the voting rights of those who are inclined to vote for Democrats.
So what is the history of this challenge? Take us a little bit through the backstory here.
Yeah, so, I mean, the first thing to know is every 10 years, all states have to redraw their legislative districts to account for changes and shifts in population. And the party that controls state government has the ability to draw plans to their advantage. Both parties have taken advantage of this. In Wisconsin, most times in decades past when the lines have been drawn, there's been split control, so the courts tend to make the maps or some kind of compromise comes out. As it happened in 2010, it was a big year for Republicans, and they controlled all of state government. They were able to draw maps in 2011 that were very helpful to them in the state assembly and state senate. There was one legal challenge that resulted in some changes to two districts, and then, but otherwise the Republican maps were upheld. This is a second attempt by the opponents of Republicans to try to get maps that are not quite as bad for Democrats.
How did the Democrats in this case make their case that, as they see it, Republicans drew the maps to maximize their advantage and were successful at that?
So people around the country, both Democrats and Republicans, are trying to figure out what the best legal challenges to maps that have a partisan flavor to them. The U.S. Supreme Court, a majority of them, have agreed that maps can be so out of the whack for partisan reasons that they would violate the Constitution. However, a majority of the U.S. Supreme Court has not been able to agree on how you would measure that. And so different folks are trying at different times to come up with new ways to measure what goes too far when it comes to partisan gerrymandering. And so this is their latest attempt. They've come up with something that calculates the so-called wasted votes that are cast. Basically, if you pack a bunch of Democrats into a district and they get their representative to the assembly, maybe gets 80% of the vote, you've got all these votes that are quote-unquote wasted, because if those people had been in districts that are more competitive, it could have gone to defeat a Republican rather than toward a Democrat who is going to win overwhelmingly.
Is this the first time that a litmus test like the one you just described has been offered up when this question comes up?
I believe it's the first time that it's been presented, certainly the furthest that this idea has gone in court. This is a test that's been developed by some political scientists, and this is the first time that I know of that it's put in this kind of legal venue.
You were talking about how this is something that both parties have done in the past. They've redrawn the maps every 10 years to whoever's advantage, whichever party is in power. How is this different, at least as Democrats see it?
Well, a couple of things. Each 10 years, the technology develops tremendously in terms of your ability to draw lines. You go back far enough but you go back a couple of redistricting and people were using colored pencils and maps laid out on big tables to try to figure out where to do things. Now they've got, you can use something similar to MapQuest, and you can, take half of a block and put it in one district and half of another block and put it in another, and you can run these all through, software that tell you the voting habits in past elections, and you can really get results that are very beneficial to one party or the other. And as it happened in 2011, the Republicans controlled both the Senate Assembly and the governor's office. So they had opportunities available to them that we have not seen in Wisconsin in a very long time.
We're talking with...
Really, when you take into account technology, have never had before these kinds of opportunities.
Patrick Marley's with us now from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, talking about a court decision that would allow a Wisconsin redistricting challenge to move to a trial. And Patrick, you say in your piece that the results of two elections show that the maps, this is a quote, the maps for the Wisconsin Assembly are more heavily skewed for one party than any other maps in the country going back more than 40 years. And that was noted in the decision. Why did the judges, do you think, make note of that?
Well, I think that they, you know, they've shown interest by allowing this to go to trial, and they haven't really tipped their hand of which party they're going to rule for, but they've seemed intrigued, at least, by the idea that the Democrats are presenting, and they took note of the fact that the model that the plaintiffs put together in this case was able to say that they could look back at four decades of races around the country and found that these maps, by this measure, were more heavily favored for one party than any other map in the country during those 40 years. And the State Department of Justice did not contest that, and I think the judges took note of that, that this evidence was produced, and the state is not denying that that is the case.
In terms of what this trial could look like, the shape of it, do you have any idea how this could unfold?
Well, it'll be a four-day trial, and it'll probably be really dry. You know, it will just be different experts on redistricting talking about why these maps were perhaps drawn the way they were, the kinds of information that they were using to calculate the likely partisan outcome, the fact that the Republican lawmakers, consultants that they used to draw these maps, had predicted what the results would be if they drew maps in this way, and the actual election results were very much in keeping with what they had projected.
What did Attorney General Brad Schimmel have to say about this?
Well, his assistant attorney generals are the ones arguing in court. He just put out a brief statement yesterday saying that he was disappointed that the court didn't simply rule in the state's favor based on the legal briefs, and that he ordered it to trial. The court ordered it to trial, but that he was confident that the state would ultimately win this.
And looking again at the people involved, what do we know about the judges?
We've got three. So redistricting cases are interesting in that they're heard by a panel of three federal judges. So it's one judge from the Seventh Circuit who was appointed by Ronald Reagan, and Judge Barbara Crabb, who represents, you know, is out of the court in Madison. She was appointed by Jimmy Carter, and then William Griesbach, who is from the Green Bay District. He was appointed by George W. Bush. So it's two Republican-appointed judges and one Democratic judge.
How important?
Judge appointed by a Democrat.
How important would you expect this decision to be as a precedent?
Well, it's hard to tell at this point. You know, if the court rules for the state and allows the current maps to remain in place, I don't know that that's much of a precedent. States would be able to continue to redistrict as they had. If the panel were to vote in favor of the Democrats, that would be significant because these maps would have to be redrawn, perhaps in very short order. It's a little unclear how fast this would all have to happen. And then it would go from there to the U.S. Supreme Court. You know, we're missing a member of the Supreme Court right now. Anthony Kennedy is very closely watched because he's sort of the justice who would determine these kinds of cases, because he's one who has said that he does think that the maps can be too partisan and violate the Constitution, but that he hasn't seen a method of measuring that yet. So everybody's really kind of catering to what they think Kennedy would ultimately like.
And Patrick, tell us again when the trial is scheduled.
May 24th it starts. It'll be a four-day trial.
Coming up soon. Patrick, thanks a lot for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
That was Milwaukee Journal Sentinel reporter Patrick Marley talking about a recent court decision to allow a Wisconsin redistricting challenge to move to trial.